In Australia, the Internet Industry Association has released its Accessible Web Action Plan, which encourages web accessibility awareness and helps members develop and maintain accessible websites. The IIA is Australia's national body for the Internet and is supported by the Australian Interactive Multimedia Industry Association, AIMIA. The action plan has four broad objectives. Members and others should be aware of accessibility issues. Members should deploy accessible websites as standard. Members should be considered leaders in web accessibility promotion. The plan itself must be kept current and relevant. Many Australians don't enjoy the internet to the same extent as others due to disabilities or their location, the report said. It cited figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics to back up this claim. 18% of the population has some form of disability. 12% is over 65, 16.9% speak a language other than English at home, and in 1996, almost 50% of Australians aged 15 to 74 had poor literacy skills. Nearly a third of Australian internet users had connections slower than 14.4K, whereas in the metropolitan areas, 56K or broadband was accepted as the norm. The plan says both the IIA and the AIMIA believe the adoption of common standards by all Australian websites will promote the confidence of users in online services and the accessibility of online Australian information and services. Both, therefore, would work to ensure members were aware of accessibility issues and that they worked towards providing accessible online services. A number of Western democracies are using the fight against terrorism to increase surveillance on the internet, according to a report from the international media rights organization Reporters Without Borders. The report suggests that a number of Western governments have used the pretext of the anti-terrorism drive to curb basic freedoms or crack down on their domestic opponents using the internet. According to Reporters Without Borders, many countries have introduced facilities for retention of data about people's email traffic and internet activity since September 11, thereby turning ISPs and telecommunications companies into a potential arm of the police. The study cites a number of steps that have been taken to reduce net freedom over the past year, including the UN Security Council Resolution 1373 on fighting terrorism and the European Union's rules on protection of electronic data. Specifically, the organisation suggests that the US, Britain, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Denmark, the European Parliament, the Council of Europe and the G8 nations have all challenged internet freedoms over the past year by introducing new measures that curb net users' privacy. And still on September 11 aftermath, more than two-thirds of Americans say it's okay for government agencies to remove public information from the internet, even though many didn't believe it would make a difference in fighting terrorism, a new study finds. But Americans were evenly divided on whether government should be able to monitor email and web activities, with 47% opposed and 45% in support. Since September the 11th last year, several government and state agencies have removed documents, maps and other resources from the internet out of concern the materials could aid terrorists. The stricken information includes general environmental reports on chemical plants and their emergency response plans. Mapping software showing communications infrastructure in Pennsylvania and data on drinking water and natural gas pipelines in the United States. Many of the removed documents remained available offline in government reading rooms or even online, housed at other non-governmental sites. Some items have since been restored by the government. According to the Pew survey, 67% of Americans believe the US government should remove information that might potentially aid terrorists, even if the public has a right to know. 23% believe the government should leave the information up, with the remainder not knowing or not answering. Of those favouring removal, 36% said doing so would have no effect on terrorism. Overall, 47% of Americans felt that way, compared with 41% who thought it would hinder terrorism. Internet users were more likely to oppose monitoring and believe that information removal would not make a difference. To the UK now, and four men have been sentenced to lengthy jail sentences after the discovery of a £50 million piracy ring involving Microsoft software. After an 8.5-month trial, the men were found guilty of conspiracy to defraud. They've been sentenced to nearly 10 years collectively after the National Crime Squad investigated a worldwide conspiracy involving counterfeit Microsoft software. This conspiracy is believed to have been one of the largest of its kind in the UK. The ringleaders face further court proceedings and potential confiscation of millions of pounds they are believed to have made in ill-gotten gains. Here's an interesting question. What do miniskirts and mobile phones have in common? Well, the Lithuanian Parliament has paused from wrestling with the country's economic woes to ban mobile phones and short skirts from its buildings. The new regulation means that any MP with a mobile phone will have to turn it off, and people will only be admitted if they are wearing austere clothing, according to the online version of Russian newspaper Pravda. The ruling has come about because some MPs felt that the prestige of the Seim, the Lithuanian Parliament, was being threatened by a light-hearted atmosphere of mobile phones and casual dress. Philips Electronics and Sony Corporation have announced a partnership to develop a new ultra-short-range radio technology for use in everything from cell phones to peripherals. The technology is intended to build on each company's existing smart card line, which allow contactless data sharing, most commonly associated with identity authentication for building access. Operating on 13.56 MHz, the new near-field radio frequency communication technology, NFC technology, would allow the transfer of any kind of data between devices such as mobile phones, digital cameras, and PDAs, as well as PCs, laptops, game consoles, or PC peripherals, across a distance of up to 20 centimeters. While the smart card market is currently relatively limited, the partnership between the two electronics giants aims to build an open infrastructure of NFC-compliant devices to open up the wide array of potential applications for the technology. The companies envision the technology playing a key role in allowing content and service providers to offer various new ways of accessing their services, whereby the consumer's primary NFC device, such as their mobile phone, would act as a smart key to gain access to chosen services from any NFC device. Microsoft's eagerly anticipated Office 11 suite for the Windows XP platform will be shipped before the end of this year, the company said in an email to its testers. The makeover for the flagship Office XP suite is expected to target developers looking to integrate Office into other business applications and create software like collaborative environments. Office XP is already fitted with features like customized smart tags and XML support, and the Office 11 upgrade is expected to incorporate Microsoft's .NET Web Services initiative that would let users use applications like Excel, Word, and Outlook in new ways. Not much is known about the particulars of the Office 11 beta, and predictably the Redmond, Washington-based firm has remained mum on details, but developers on beta sites aren't shying away from speculating on what Microsoft might do with the upgrade. Office 11 is expected to include major upgrades to the Microsoft Word, Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, Access, Front Page, and SharePoint, but it's the developer tools section that has testers buzzing with excitement. Watch this space. The recording industry and America's largest telephone company are crossing legal swords in what could be a test case of how far big record labels can go to track down computer users who swap music online. The industry is seeking to force Verizon Communications Corporation, which also provides customers with high-speed internet access, to turn over the name of one of its users who the record labels claim has made copyrighted music available for download by others. The Recording Industry of America also demanded that Verizon block access to the users' music files. The industry contends that it's losing millions of dollars in music sales because potential customers are instead downloading digital copies from others in violation of copyright law. The battle with Verizon is part of an aggressive campaign by the record labels on Capitol Hill, at the Justice Department, and in the courts to crack down on the practice. Among other tactics, the industry is using automated software agent called BOTS, that's short for robots, to patrol the internet and identify computers with music available for download through a popular technology known as file sharing. Although the bot can detect the presence of musical files available for download, it can identify only the internet protocol or IP address and the service provider, not the identity of the user. The music industry sent a subpoena to Verizon for the name of one user but was rebuffed. It then went to the U.S. District Court in Washington asking the court to enforce the subpoena. Verizon and a coalition of internet advocacy groups argue that if the recording industry prevails, the constitutional right to privacy of millions of internet users will be compromised. According to an August 2002 survey from letstalk.com, only 6% of people in the US think it's appropriate to talk on a cell phone at the movies or in a theatre. That's compared to 11% who thought the same in 2000. Worthlin Worldwide conducted two surveys for Let's Talk, one in April 2000 and the other in August 2002, and presented possible scenarios for cell phone conversations in the car, in classrooms, in the bathroom. Fewer respondents think it's acceptable to use a cell phone in nearly all of the given circumstances than did in 2000. The only exception? Talking in the bathroom. 47% of respondents think bathroom cell phone usage is acceptable, up from 39% in 2000. Worthlin surveyed over 1,000 people in the US aged 18 and over for both studies. It's important to note that since 2000, laws have been implemented in many US states regarding driving and talking on a cell phone, and movie theaters across the country have begun to ask visitors to turn cell phones off for the duration of the film. And finally, a new law passed in Greece means that anybody carrying an electronic game, even if it's just on a mobile phone, could face a hefty fine or even a lengthy jail sentence. The Greek government has banned all electronic games across Greece, including those in home computers, Game Boy-style portable consoles, and on mobile phones. Law number 3037, enacted at the end of July, explicitly forbids electronic games with electronic mechanisms and software from public and private places, and people have already been fined tens of thousands of euros for playing or owning games. The law was passed to prevent illegal gambling. According to the Greek newspaper Kathimerini, the police will be responsible for catching offenders who will face fines of 5,000 up to 75,000 euro and imprisonment of 1 to 12 months. The blanket ban was decided in February after the government admitted it was incapable of distinguishing innocuous video games from illegal gambling machines. One online report said that even watching a film on DVD, many of which contained promotional games linked to the movie, had resulted in an arrest and a 10,000 euro fine. The Greek gaming community has reacted, as you would expect, with a mixture of shock, disbelief and anger. One site, www.gameland.gr, has opened a petition and a news service on the ban, as well as providing English translations of the law and messages of support from around the world. A test case is to come before the Greek courts next week, and the Greek gaming community is already planning protests in the event that the defendant is convicted. And that's News Briefs for this week.